Father God, how grateful we are to be able to be here in your house this Sunday morning, to be with the body of Christ, to be with other brothers and sisters, like-minded men and women who have a heart for the Lord. And God, I do pray now that we've worshiped you, now that we've spent that time lifting our voices to you, God, that you would speak to us through your word as we continue to go through the book of 1 Corinthians, Lord, as it continues to speak into our lives, into our relationships, into our marriages. Lord, we want to be mindful of the days that we're living in. And so we pray that our ears are open, that our hearts are ready to receive your truth. And Lord, today is the first Sunday of the month. We also are going to partake of communion. So I pray that even now you're preparing our hearts to be reminded of the work that you completed upon the cross of Calvary. And because of that completed work, you were able to say it is finished. And that is the hope that we have, that you paid the price for us. Now we ask, God, that we would live lives worthy of that sacrifice, worthy of that victory. So bless us as we look to your word. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus taught in Matthew's gospel not to be anxious or fearful of tomorrow. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't fret about it. Don't think about it. Certainly on Sunday mornings, we don't want to be thinking about Monday morning. We want to focus in on the Lord. And even though he says, don't worry about tomorrow, he also encourages us to be mindful of tomorrow. We have to understand that the future has great blessings for us. The return of Jesus Christ should encourage us to live for today to its fullest, not worry about tomorrow, not to be discouraged about tomorrow, not fret over tomorrow, but to trust that tomorrow could bring the return of Christ. Certainly today could too. But we have to be future-minded, but we also need to live in the present. We have to live in the moments that we live in each and every day. Because Jesus taught us that our view of the future and the future rapture and the future, you know, taking us up to be with the Lord should bring us hope for today. And to help us be mindful, how we live our lives today matters, my friends. We're believers. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Our lives should be emanating the grace, the love, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of crazy times, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and struggles that we go through. That's what we have in this world. But the hope is tomorrow will be a better day. Every morning we have an opportunity to spend time with the Lord. Every new day we can say, Lord, fill this day with godly opportunities. Use me, Lord, even despite us. You may not feel worthy to be used by God, but trust me, he is using you as a believer and as a child of his. Because every one of us one day will stand before God and give an account of the time we spent here on earth. And the older I get, the more I realize time is getting shorter. It's amazing how 365 days can go by so much faster as the older I get. When I was a kid, summer seemed to last for a year. Remember that? It's like summer vacation from school. Well, it seemed like it would last forever. Now, summer starts, and all of a sudden we're thinking Christmas. And it's like, what? It goes by so fast. Don't let your life slip by. Always wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm making myself available to you. Help me in the day that we live. Because one day we will give an account for the time, for the money, and the abilities that God has given to us. We have to give an account to God. After telling his disciples to first seek the kingdom of God, the verse before Matthew 6:34. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The very next thing is, don't worry about tomorrow. Seek the kingdom of God. I ask you this morning, are you seeking God's kingdom? Are you seeking the things of God for your life? Maybe as a parent, you're praying for those things for your kids. Maybe you're focusing on others, and that's great. But are you living for the Lord today? You see, the Apostle Paul has been answering questions for the church at Corinth, the believers there. A lot of them have to do with relational things, with marriage, and he's going to continue that. But what I could not get away with as I was studying this area of text is Paul's perspective on the return of Jesus Christ. It should affect everything that we do. Every decision that we make, every choice that we choose in a day. Lord, your future, your return could be at this moment. May the Lord find us faithful when he returns. Amen? Look at verse 25 with me in 1 Corinthians 7. It says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord has, in his mercy, has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should not be as though they had, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Guys, don't highlight that verse in your Bibles. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. And look, for the form of this world is passing away. Passing away. Give me your attention here. The Apostle Paul deals with the unmarried. Okay, and depending on what version of Bible you're reading, you're either going to get the perspective of a father to his virgin daughter or a man to his virgin fiance. It could go either way. So what you may read or what I might talk about may be a little bit different, but the context is still the same. Paul is looking out at the horizon of the world. He's looking at Corinth. He's looking at the return of Christ. As he says, the time is short in verse 29. He knows that the Lord's return could be at any moment. If the Apostle Paul had the mindset that the Lord Jesus was returning at any moment, don't you think we're even closer to that moment? That's the mindset that the Apostle Paul wants to have. He's talking to the church at Corinth about relationships, about marriages, about how you're supposed to treat one another, how to do these things, but always have the mindset, the Lord's returning. We can't, as the later days of the last days Christians who are living in the days of, I believe, just before the return of Christ, we cannot be living our lives in such a way where we are forgetting that the Lord could come back at any moment. He hasn't come back in a long time, right? The Apostle Paul wrote this how many hundreds of years ago? And now we're reading it and we're going, Jesus hasn't come back yet. But just because he hasn't come back doesn't mean he's not going to. And we have to be careful, guys, that we don't get lax in the things that we're doing as believers. I believe the church is getting a bit lethargic. They're not submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not being spirit-led in the things and the choices that we're doing. We're so much looking like the world. I want to encourage us all. Jesus could come back in our lifetime. What an amazing thing it would be for us to be the generation that get raptured. I mean, when I would read my Bible when I first got saved, I used to think, boy, those people that are going to get raptured, that are going to be cool. Right? We may be those people. We may be the ones that get caught up in the air to be in the presence of the Lord. How amazing would that be? Boy, if it was today, yes. Yes, few people excited about it. If you're not excited about being raptured by the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's something going on in your life. There's something holding. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Don't hold on to the things of this world. Don't focus horizontally when we're supposed to be focusing vertically. Yes, he's talking about unmarried couples. He's talking about those that are engaged. Again, in the Jewish culture, in the culture, it was a long engagement period. And so he's talking to those specifically that have not gotten married yet. And he's looking out and he's saying there's some current distress. Again, he says it in verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress. There's something going on in that culture at that time that Paul says, it'd be better for you to just stay where you are because it's going to be difficult if you get married. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're married, you know it's difficult. You know it's not just easy. You know it's not like the romance novels? It's not always like that, is it? It's hard. It's difficult. Worth it? Absolutely. Blessed? You got that right. But is it easy? Not always. No. And so the Apostle Paul says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't teach specifically about this. We don't have it in the text. Paul says, I've never heard him talk about it. But because, notice what he says at the second half of verse 1. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I think about that and I'm like, Lord, would you do to me what you did to the Apostle Paul? Make me trustworthy. God, convict our hearts, all of us, that he would make us trustworthy in the judgments of God. Not the judgments of man, not the choices that we make, that we would be the ones like the Apostle Paul says, listen, Jesus didn't give a specific command, but I feel like I have the Holy Spirit, and I think I can speak accurately on this topic. Are we that way? Are we seeking the Lord in such a way that he's giving us certain wisdom that we can share with our brothers and sisters in Christ? I would love to see all of us to be biblical counselors in the world that we're living in, that are so equipped with the Word of God, it's hidden in our hearts, that when somebody's going through something, Scripture comes to mind. And you're able to share Scripture with someone. You can give your opinion, but man, it's so much more powerful when you're able to give the Scriptures to someone. I love that. To whom, the one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Don't you want to be known as that one believer that your friends, your coworkers, your family can come to and say, I have a question. You know, when people come up to me and say, Pastor Rob, I have a question. Immediately in the back of my mind, I'm praying, Lord, give me the answer. God, I want your answer. I don't want my answer. We need to have people that are Spirit-led giving the answers for the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress. Paul may be looking out thinking, okay, Jesus Christ is going to return any moment. But he also may be looking out and saying, in this time, there's historical evidence that there were a lot of famines going on at this time. And Apostle Paul could be looking out and saying, you know, if you get married, you're going to have a responsibility to provide for your family. It's going to be hard for you to feed yourself, let alone now you got to feed a wife. Now you may have to feed children. Some distress is out there. Something difficult is out there. Or it could have simply been just the return of Jesus Christ. It's like the Lord's going to come back at any moment. The Apostle Paul's heart was always have an eternal perspective in your life. Have an eternal perspective in your life. Do you have that in your life? Do you have an eternal perspective? That every thought, every choice that you make is filtered through what God would want you to do and how God would want you to proceed in those things. I think it's very wise for us to take our cares and concerns to the Lord and ask for his approval on them before we start them, not after. The time is short, he says. Look with me at verse 28 again. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. The Apostle Paul's spiritual conviction or opinion is that stay single. But if you do get married, you're not sinning. Now listen, God created them, man and woman, right? He created them. Be fruitful and multiply. The Jews felt a commandment from God that they were to marry and have children and have a huge family. And so the Apostle Paul's not going to teach against that. This teaching was specifically to the Corinthians for a specific time. And Paul says, listen, you're not sinning if you do get married, but I'm just warning you. I look out over the culture of our world today, and there's young couples that they just want to get married so badly, so quickly. It's like, spend time, get to know someone. Someone just said to me this morning, if someone married an unbeliever, but they didn't know it, can God hold them accountable to that? I said, well, if they didn't know it, then they didn't spend enough time getting to know their spouse. Right? Get to know someone. Spend time. When I hear someone who said they're going to get married and they in a few months, I'm like, did you take any time? Those that spend time and build a relationship, build a foundation, that's what the Apostle Paul wants. Marriages that will last. Marriages that will last a lifetime. When he says time is short in verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Sandwiched between time is short and the form of this world is passing away, the Apostle Paul lists some very important things, but very horizontal things, very earthly things. Even if you're married, even if you have a spouse, you should always have the mindset, I want to serve the Lord. Marriage doesn't disqualify us from serving the Lord. Having a family doesn't disqualify us from serving the Lord. Being joyful, being happy doesn't disqualify us from serving the Lord. Being sorrowful, you know, maybe you've had a tragedy in your life and you're discouraged. You're still a believer. And the point the Apostle Paul is trying to make, no matter what's going on in your life, always have the mindset to serve the Lord because the time is short. When I got saved, I was 26 years old. And I distinctly remember saying when I got saved, Lord, I'm sorry I wasted 26 years of my life apart from you. I distinctly remember thinking that. The time is short, my friends. And when he's saying, those of you that have a wife, as though you didn't, no, not like abandon your wife. It's like you have responsibilities for your wife, you have responsibilities for your family, but that does not disqualify you from serving the Lord. With this eternal perspective that Jesus is coming back and that we have to give an account of the life that we live, we can't stand before God. Well, God, I had no time. I was married and I had kids and I had a job. That's not an excuse. Serve where God has you. I've told men not to serve in the church because they just had a child or they just got married, because I think they need to focus on that relationship first and foremost and build that. We put God first, but we can't put serving God's people before the responsibilities of our families. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, the time is short. Make sure you have the right perspective. The fact that Jesus loves you eternally should be motivation for all of us to want to live for him, not to pay him back, not to get on his good side, but to truly say, Lord, you died for me so that I could live. You rose for me so that I could have a life filled with hope of the resurrection. Are you living with that kind of hope in your life? Are you living with that kind of excitement that, God, you died for me, you loved me so much that you gave your life for me? I want to live for you. Because that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, have an eternal perspective. And if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, I want you to see what John says. It's 1 John chapter 2. We'll look at verse 15. First John 2 and 15 says, very, very plainly, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. John is writing this letter, and he has eternal perspective. He says, don't love the world. Listen to me very carefully. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy the things that he's blessed you with. But don't love it so much that that's your God, that that's the thing you serve, right? That that's the thing you want, that all your time and all your care and all your concerns are upon, the things that you have in this world, because they're going away. They're passing away. So hold on to this world very loosely. Enjoy the things God gives you. He doesn't care if you want to go golfing. He doesn't care if you want to go fishing. He doesn't care if you want to go enjoy the things in this world. But make sure in the midst of doing that, you're paying attention to God around you. We can so go through life with blinders on and miss the amazing beauty that God has given to us. But this is all going to go away. We look at it and we say, God, you're an artist. It's beautiful. But it's going to go away. He's going to make it better. Amen? He's going to make it better. But have this kind of perspective. Because even John says in verse 18, again, little children, it is the last hour. He was expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back within that hour, he says. What an amazing thing. Peter put it this way, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. So we have Paul saying, time is short. We have John saying, the world's passing away any moment. And we have Peter, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. If Peter, Paul, and John had this eternal perspective that the Lord was coming back, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Yes, we should. We should have this mindset that, Lord Jesus, we should be praying for the return of Christ. God, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. But I want to live today for you. And what that means is showing people around you that you have the peace of God in your heart. Right? We talk about that peace that surpasses understanding. In the midst of a crazy world, in the midst of the crazy last 2 years that we've had, have you had peace? Man. I think about the pandemic. And in fact, I was watching a documentary on the TV, and it was how the world changed in 1 year. I don't know if anybody saw that documentary. I think it was on Apple TV. That 1 year where we were all housed up in our homes, we had to stay home, gave the earth a chance to recover. I mean, it as I was watching, I'm like, this must break the heart of God. And I think God said, listen, you're destroying this planet so quickly. I'm going to allow a pandemic to slow things down. I mean, some endangered species actually are rebounding because we took a year off. Because we stopped going to the beaches, sea turtles are starting to flourish. I mean, it's just like, wow. Wow. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of difficulty, God used it. God can do that in your life too. He may allow something in your life to get your attention. I think we have to pay attention to the things that God wants to show to us. Have this eternal perspective, my friends, because that's what God wants us to have. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 7, let's see how much farther we can get. I wanted to get through the chapter, but it doesn't look like it. Verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman, the virgin, cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper. And that, look at, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Paul very powerfully takes a look at this and says, listen, the unmarried can serve the Lord without distraction. The married has to serve their spouse. We have the responsibility to serve our spouses and to serve our family. And so Paul isn't saying it's a bad thing. He's just saying pay attention that there's going to be divided attractions, divided responsibilities. As a married man, as a pastor, I have to split my time between providing for my wife, encouraging our relationship and our marriage, and also the responsibility in the church. I've said this many times. My wife and I have not been able to have kids. It wasn't in the cards for us. But I look at other pastors who have children, I'm thinking that's one other responsibility they have that takes away from ministry. It's part of life. The danger is most pastors avoid that responsibility of their families, and they sacrifice. How many pastors' kids do we know that have grown up and I never knew my dad? Or, sadly enough, those kids are no longer walking with the Lord because of their father's call in ministry. Oh, it's heartbreaking to me. And so Paul is saying, pay attention. If you're not married, you have an opportunity to devote most of your time, almost all of your time, serving the Lord. But if you're married, there's going to be an additional responsibility. Does he say it's a bad thing? No. How could he? God created it. But he's saying, trust me. It'll cause more responsibilities upon you. And so that's what he's teaching. The affairs of this world crowd out our lives, do they not? They cause our interests to be divided, and that's just a flat fact. You have to go to work because you have to make a check, right? It's going to time spent away from the family. What's God's heart? That you keep it in balance. You keep it in balance. We are living in a society where it's so out of balance, guys. The need to make money, what? To pay the mortgage, to pay the boat payment, to pay the car payments, to pay the utility bills, right? Moms sometimes have to go to work so they can pay for the daycare. It's out of balance. You got to look, every situation is different. You got to look at your situation and say, am I giving God an opportunity to use me? Or am I too busy? Don't be too busy for God. Be busy, but let God use you in that busyness. Again, find a balance to it. There's never enough. You'll never make enough money. Over the years of my life, my wife and I have been blessed. We make more and more and more money, and the money doesn't satisfy. You know what satisfies? Walking upright with the Lord. Knowing that our relationship to God is strong. That's what matters. And that's where we need to focus our attentions. Having that eternal perspective. Heh. You know, the society we live in, sometimes it's like the single people are so concerned about getting married, and the married people are so concerned about, no, I'm not going to say that. Why can't we be happy where we are? Why can't we be blessed in the place that God has us? Don't be seeking something different. Look to your relationships. Look to the life God has given to you and say, God, use me in the place that I am. Lord, help me. Help me understand that. Putting God first was the Apostle Paul's main focus. Put God first because he's coming back. Because he's coming back. Again, I want to show the verse. Oh, I didn't put it up. But Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be given to us. All these other things that we need in life, they'll be taken care of if we put God first. The first commandment that God gives, what? Put God before any other God. Is God first in your life? Because if he's first, I believe everything else in life lines up. So he loves you so much. The least we can do is give him our time, give him our hearts to be used for his kingdom and his glory, because we're to seek his kingdom first. So as we now transition into this time of communion, this is a time where we can spend time looking to God and say, Lord, I want to put you first in my life. Lord, maybe I haven't. Maybe I've been focused on too many other things. Maybe I had to focus on all these good responsibilities that you've given to me, but Lord, you want more of my heart. So as we close in prayer, let's ask God to prepare our hearts to commune with him and remember what he's done and that wonderful gift that he's given to us of eternal life. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul. How he willingly answers these questions that the church of Corinth had. And that he shares his heart and his perspective as he looks out at the world they were living in. And I love his sensitivity, God. His love for them to encourage them if they're not married to remain in that place. Because their focus needed to be on you. And God, this is so convicting in our hearts this morning. There's a lot of things that get in the way of our relationship to you. There's a lot of distractions in this world pulling for our attention. But God, I would pray that this morning we've been reminded that though there's a lot of good things in our lives, they can take away our time from you. So as we now consider this time of communion and remembering what Jesus did upon the cross, may it bring us to that place of amazing gratitude. Hearts of thankfulness that God, you made a way for us to get to you. You made a way for us to get to heaven. That one way through Jesus Christ. And I pray for all of us here this morning that God, we have given our lives over to you. That we've surrendered our will for your will. And I pray that you would love upon us, pouring out your love within us. Helping us to navigate this thing called life. And Lord, we do look forward to your return. And we do pray that that return would be soon. But if you continue to delay your return, may we be like your son Jesus, being busy about our Father's business. Loving on one another. Loving on our spouses, loving on our families, loving on this world, because you died for them too. Help us to have that eternal perspective. We do want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So fill us with your Spirit. Bless this time as we share this time of communion. Thankful for the blood that was shed, the body that was broken for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.